Welcome to the Strong for Performance podcast, where we give coaches and consultants practical ideas for taking you to the next level in your business and in your life. I'm your host, Meredith Bell. I interview experts who've walked in your shoes and offer real-world experience that you can apply to your own journey. Welcome to another episode of the Strong for Performance podcast. I'm your host, Meredith Bell, and I'm delighted to have as my guest today, Charissa Sebastian. Charissa, welcome to my show.
Thank you so much for having me, Meredith. I can't wait to get started.
I know. I'm so excited about what Charissa has to share with my listeners today. Before we jump in, though, I have lots of questions. I want to introduce you to my audience so they get a sense of why I'm so excited to have you with us. Charissa is a leadership and executive coach, and she has multiple advanced degrees, along with 15 plus years of corporate leadership experience. And as a coach, she has been working with many Fortune 500 or Fortune 100 executives, including folks from LinkedIn, Facebook, Microsoft, Bank of America, Intuit, Victoria's Secret, and that's just a few of them, right? Charissa, you've worked with so many different companies. So she really knows from her own personal experience in leadership roles, but also working with this vast array of leaders, the kinds of challenges that they face. And Charissa is also a TEDx speaker. She's written for Forbes and Huffington Post, and she's also a member of the Forbes Coaches Council. And so her many years of experience, to me, one of the things that I'm very excited about, she has helped leaders learn how to really identify their strengths, take advantage of those, see their value, and really be able to bring out the best in themselves and therefore also the people who work with them. And at the same time, having fun, feeling fulfilled, and not burning out. That sounds like a great goal to have during these challenging times that we're living in right now, Charissa. And so I'm really looking forward to delving into some of the things that you've helped other leaders do that you can also help my listeners do. Before we jump into those kinds of questions to explore, I'd like you first, though, to talk a little bit about your journey to the work that you're doing today.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, as you can tell from my experience, my past experience, my past life is very different from the coaching world. And so there was definitely that transition period that I went through. And so with the 15 years of experience that I've had in the corporate space, what ended up happening towards the end of my career and what made me actually take a pause and, kind of question whether I was in the right place and where I wanted to go next, was I started to head really quickly towards burnout. And one of the things that I realized around that time, and actually with the help of my coach at, during that time period, is I really wasn't functioning in my zone of genius. For the most part, there were parts of my job that I still did love and enjoy, but I was being pulled more and more into other areas of the business and more away from what I loved, which was helping to support my teams and, build them up and helping them to get on that path to success, whatever that meant for them. And so because I was being drawn more and more away from that, and, I was supporting a lot of like global businesses, global projects, and a lot of different things like that, I was really stretched very, very thin. And so I got to that point in my career where I started to look at the future and started to question, okay, where am I going? And, do I see this getting any better? And for me, at that particular point in time, I started to look into my options, and they didn't look good. It was like, I cannot imagine having my boss's position or, kind of climbing the corporate ladder. And then also through the whole coaching experience, I realized that that wasn't necessarily going to be the best fit for me anyway. So there was a reason why I had this internal struggle and conflict. And so through coaching, and actually I didn't even know what coaching was at the time. Funny story is I found my coach through Groupon of all places.
Groupon.
Groupon. Yes, my Groupon coach story. And that's how I knew what coaching was all about. This was about 7-8 years ago now. But I had no idea. The only thing I knew about coaching was in the sports arena. And so when I saw the ad and he asked all the right questions, and he asked about, you know, like, do you feel stuck in your career? Do you feel like, you know, you spent all this time, but you don't see the way forward, all of those things. And I was like, oh my goodness, yes, please help. And so after I had my initial session, it was enough to give me a little bit of a taste of what coaching was all about. And so through the years between that time and now, my coaches have, oh my goodness, completely changed my life and just coaching in general, going through, you know, the training and all of those things have helped me in so many ways. And so that's one of the things that I loved about coaching is I had to go through the experience for myself. I had to make a lot of changes internally and, you know, in my life to be able to then be better equipped to, you know, to step into that arena and to be able to help my clients now to really thrive in their jobs. Because my mission now is to never have anyone, you know, feel as miserable or as stuck as I did back then. And so that's what really drives me to help the leaders that I'm helping and supporting right now, is to, you know, never be in that position where they feel like they're just completely stuck and overwhelmed and they just don't know, you know, what to do next or, you know, where to go. And so the other thing that I love about coaching in the leadership space is that I now get to help these leaders really help and support their teams thrive as well, and also, you know, contribute at their highest level to the business, and also, you know, find their best career fit and what that next step is for them as well. So that's a little bit about my story and my background. And actually, one other fun part of the story is another thing that coaching helped me with, is to really define my what I wanted my ideal lifestyle to be. So, you know, where I wanted to live, what I want to be doing on a weekly basis, and then helping me to figure out how can my work or my business fit into that versus the other way around. So that's also an element of coaching that I bring in as well. And as you probably know, Meredith, I live in Florida, that's one of the reasons that I do live in Florida, is because a coach helped me to figure out, okay, where would you like to live? What do you want your life to look like? And I'm a big Disney fan. One of my biggest values is fun. And so I've got a 15-year-old and I spend a lot of time, well, not now during COVID times, but normally we spend a lot of time at the theme parks, we go to the beach. And so those are the kinds of things that, you know, that was really important to me in that coaching relationship, was not just about the work and, you know, the amount of time I'm spending at work and what to do there, but how do I have like this whole holistic view of my life, and how can coaching help me to figure out the different parts of it? So that's part of what I help my clients with today as well.
That's great. I love that you really took time to stop and think about where you could live that would support what it was you really wanted to be able to do with your life. I think that's great. And I think there's so many things that you've said that I want to kind of tap into. One of them was, you mentioned you needed to do this work, you know, internally yourself. And one of the things that I know you have worked on for yourself and also have helped your clients with is this whole idea of a strong mindset. So would you talk a little bit about what do you mean by that, and how does someone, especially during these challenging times, we're recording this, you know, in the middle of the COVID pandemic, and so people are stressed. There are so many different areas in our lives that have been upended recently. And so I think that strong mindset is so critical right now. So let's start with that.
Absolutely. And I love that you bring this up, Meredith, because this is one of the cornerstones of what I believe to be, you know, really important in the whole coaching approach and the coaching focus. And so when it comes to mindset, this is by far one of the biggest areas I had to work on personally in order to have or create that life and that career that I really wanted. And so when we talk about mindset, a lot of, you know, the actions that we take, the decisions that we make, start in our minds, and it starts with the lens through which we view the world. So, you know, that our interpretation of what's going on, our past experiences, all of those different things are going to form who we are and how we think, and then as a result of that, what we do with that. So the decisions we make, the interactions with others, and all of those kinds of things. And so what I found in even in my own personal experience and also working with my clients is even small little shifts in our mindset in terms of looking at things from a different perspective, looking looking at, you know, focusing on the opportunities in different situations, especially during tough times like we are in right now, the mindset work has been critical to help support, you know, my clients going through some really, really challenging times, for them to be able to look at things from a slightly different lens, understand people from a different perspective, ask the right questions to be able to, you know, come together and build those relationships, even though, you know, there's stress on, you know, all sides right now. And so the mindset and having that outlook, having that, you know, positive outlook, I think is so important, but also looking for opportunities and being proactive in looking for ways to grow and develop as an individual, but then also looking to see if I, you know, once I do that, and then how can I, you know, contribute to others, build those relationships and really have a bigger impact, you know, than I otherwise would be able to. So I think all of those different components are so important when it comes to mindset. And also the thoughts that the tapes that we play in our mind or the thoughts that we have is incredibly, incredibly important as well. So we have to be very careful about what we allow to, in our minds, as far as what we believe, what we surround ourselves with. All of those things, I think, play a part in this mindset as well to help us to, you know, we just have to be really careful about those kinds of things, because at the end of the day, that's also going to impact the way we view the world and the lens through which we view the world.
So let's get specific here, because I know that you don't believe a mindset is something you just turn on and all of a sudden start thinking Pollyanna, positive, that sort of thing. So let's imagine, because so many of my listeners are their own business owners, whether they're a coach, consultant, service professional. So for folks like that, that let's say a lot of their engagements got canceled because they were looking to do in-person events and the clients say, we're going to put this off until we can do in-person again. What would you say to offer encouragement or help someone shift their perspective from anxious, upset, worried to a more relaxed, positive state where they can look at opportunities?
Yeah, absolutely. And that is a big question right now, right? Like how to pivot in these times when things are not going the way people had intended or planned for. And so one of the things I want to go back to for a moment is when you were talking about like positivity and optimism. So I do want to touch on like the difference between the two, because there is a difference. And I definitely don't want to, just say, oh, you know, be positive and everything is great and everything is just wonderful, because that's not our reality, right? That's not where we are right now. But right. Having an optimistic mindset or approach is more looking at it from the perspective of, yes, you know, it's tough. Times are tough right now. It's not the easiest situation to deal with. But at the same time, I have hope for the future. I know that, you know, better things are going to come. And then also backtracking from that to say, okay, what do I need to do today to set me up for that success down the road? Even if things are not, you know, going the way that I would like right now, or I don't see, you know, it's not visible, it's not tangible right now in terms of the success that I want. But having that optimism as far as like knowing that better days are to, you know, are yet to come, but also how can I then impact that? And what can I do today, despite my circumstances, that it's really going to set me up and the people that are, you know, around me and impacted by me? How do I set that up now? Or what do I need to do now in order to, you know, to be better off later on? And I'll actually give you an example, a couple of examples from my own personal experience, because as you can imagine, I mean, I think pretty much all businesses or most businesses were impacted during these COVID times. And so there were a couple of clients of mine, right at the beginning of when COVID started to pick up, that, you know, put their coaching on pause. This is not one of those things where they decided, you know, was the critical to their business function. And so that went on pause. And so there were a few of my, you know, my calendar started to open up a little bit, and I was like, oh, okay, I wonder how long this is going to last. Like what's going to happen here? And I will say, I mean, we're all human, so we're going to have the initial reaction. And so not making yourself wrong for it is also really important. So if you have anger, if you have frustration, you know, if those things come up for you, it's not that you need to immediately push it down and say, oh, I shouldn't be thinking that way, I just need to be positive. That's not what this is all about. It's about sitting with that emotion, but not to the degree that it's going to take, you know, it's going to harm you long term. So what I mean by that is identifying, you know, the feeling that you're having. So if you are angry, if you are frustrated, like looking at that situation and being honest with yourself about what you're feeling and what you're experiencing and allowing yourself to go through that. And then one of the things I do in a little coaching technique I use is time boxing. So if something happens, this is what I mean by that. When something happens that I'm not expecting, or I get bad news or something like that, or, you know, something happens that's going to, that I know is going to negatively impact my business, for example, one of the things I do is say, okay, well, this is not good right now. Like, this does not feel good. I don't know what this means, or I don't know what kind of impact this is going to have, but this does not look good right now. And there is that, you know, that level of frustration that can build up. And so I sit with that emotion. I'm like, okay, I'm frustrated, but you know what? I'm going to give myself 5 minutes, or I'm going to give myself 10 minutes to just process through this. Maybe I take some deep breaths, whatever it is that I need to do in that time, but just to kind of sit with it and let my body, you know, like process through that. And then, but I time box it and I say, okay, after that time, I'm going to start focusing on things that are going to be more important, that are actually going to take me in the direction that I want to go. So that way I'm not being completely consumed by this, and it's not taking away from, you know, from the other things that are going to be important for me to focus on. But at the same time, I'm not denying myself the ability, you know, the option to really work through that, because I think the more we push it down, it tends to surface a lot, you know, in a lot bigger way later on, especially with these, you know, with these negative emotions. So that's one thing I would say, is not making yourself wrong for those emotions, but allowing yourself to experience it, but also limiting that, you know, limiting your focus on that, and realizing that you do have a choice. We all have a choice with, you know, when those emotions come up, and we can choose to sit in it for a while if that's what you feel is best, but also you can choose to do other things. And then the other thing that I did do going through that experience is that even in the moment, like when that was happening to me, I was like, okay, what helps and supports me, you know, when I'm in a stressful situation? So that may be walking outside for a little while, you know, getting a breath of fresh air, doing some breathing exercises. It could be, you know, eating something nourishing, or listening to music, or just anything in the moment that can help, you know, help my brain to kind of reset from that heightened emotion, is really helpful. And then once I'm able to, like, you know, decompress a little bit, then I can, it's easier for me to focus on, okay, so now that I know what I know, what do I need to do? And what I started to do was look at the situation I was in, even though it was, you know, it wasn't the best, but look at it from the perspective of, okay, what do I need to do? How can I look at this from, you know, in terms of what's the opportunity here? So for me, because I that space opened up in my calendar, I was able to focus on things that I love to do, but I normally don't get a lot of time to do. So I, you know, I picked up on my reading. I did a lot of reading. I enrolled in a couple of courses that I wouldn't have otherwise had time to do. So I looked for other things, other ways to really support my mission overall. So being clear on that mission and being clear on what is it that's really important to me at the end of the day, and then looking for ways to support that and to help me move forward was really helpful. So there were a lot of pivots that needed to happen. And as I'm sure, you know, with your listeners, that's going to be the case as well. There's a lot of things that have happened over the last few months that I'm sure have almost forced, you know, forced us to make those pivots and to stop, you know, like just really just pause and say, and evaluate. And I think that's a really beautiful thing, that, you know, that pause. And even though, of course, in these times, it's involuntary, right? We don't choose it. But at the same time, it still gives us the opportunity to pause and to start to reflect. And I think that is a gift in itself, is that time to reflect on, you know, on where we are and where we want to go and what we want to do.
What I love what you're saying there, because to me, there were a couple of things that came up. This whole idea of taking ownership of your emotions, just owning them and acknowledging them and not denying, because I think the body suffers and our mind suffers when we refuse to accept what's going on, and we try to push through it instead of just saying, here's where I am at the moment. But the other aspect of it related to ownership, to me, the word wallow came up. You know, you don't want to wallow around in your emotions for too long, because that to me is when you get into that downward spiral of, oh man, there's just no hope. So you use the word hope, which I loved, optimism, recognizing the reality of what's going on, but refusing to be victimized by it. And I love your approach about saying, you know, what can I do, even just for today? What's one step I could take? So you're not trying to make some major plan necessarily. You know, you don't feel, at least that's what I'm hearing you say, is not put the pressure on yourself to suddenly come up with a solution to everything, but starting small, looking at one thing that you could do. Do I have that right?
That's absolutely right. And there's one other thing that I wanted to add to that, Mira, that was incredibly helpful for me as I went through those times, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners, you know, have gone through, you know, similar things as well in the last few months, is leaning on my support network. So my coach was, oh my goodness, a saving grace in that time, because there were a lot of things where, and it's very easy for us, it's human nature, that when something goes wrong, it's easy for us to catastrophize. And I do that a lot. When something goes wrong, it's like, oh my goodness, like this is gonna, you know, it's terrible and all of those things. things. But having somebody, having a sounding board, having somebody like a coach, you know, who you can lean on to give you that different perspective, to help you see things from, you know, from a different angle and things like that, can really help. It really helped to ground me in reality and to say, oh, okay, like I didn't consider that, or I didn't realize like this might actually be a good thing if I look at it from a different angle. So I think, and of course, as a coach, I'm definitely a big, big fan of coaching. But just even from my own personal experience going through COVID, my coach has helped me tremendously when it comes to, you know, being in a little bit of crisis mode every now and then, you know, when things don't go the way I had planned.
Mm-hmm. That's really important, the idea that we don't have to go it alone, that we need some type of support system. And if you have a coach, that's great. Some of the other things I wanted to cover with you certainly relate to our circumstances right now, but I want to go deeper. You've got this rich experience of coaching some very high-level executives, but even they suffer from some of the same kinds of things that, you know, individual business owners experience. One of which is sabotaging ourselves at times when we, you know, start off on a path, but then we get in our own way and we almost can set ourselves up for failure. Talk a little bit about why does that happen and how do you help clients work through that? And if you have a specific example, of course, without naming names, but an example of how you've helped someone stop sabotaging themselves.
Oh, that's a great question, a big question. So I'll try to answer it as best as I can. So the first thing that I wanted to touch on to answer that question is around like how this comes up. And in my coaching, a lot of what I've heard over the years is confidence. Like, you know, I want to have more confidence and things like that. So I think a lot of the underlying issues that I've noticed in and the patterns that I've noticed in my coaching come from, you know, when we don't believe in ourselves, when we're a little bit like on shaky ground when it comes to, you know, when we put ourselves out there, when we go into this big presentation that we have, or, you know, there's an important conversation that we have, and we start to question and doubt ourselves. So I would say that some of the biggest sabotages that we have self-sabotage really is when it comes to that self-doubt, negative self-talk, imposter syndrome, you know, all of those kinds of things. But the other part of that when it comes to the ways in which we can sabotage ourselves is jumping to conclusions. So making interpretations and assumptions and, you know, having these self-defeating belief system around certain situations, and all of those kinds of things really tie into this and help and make us feel like really shaky in terms of, you know, our confidence and make us question ourselves and our abilities, and also make us see the situations and the things that are happening around us in a kind of skewed view, so that, you know, it really can sabotage us and keep us stuck and keep us feeling like we are a victim versus, you know, we're versus feeling empowered to really make the best decision. So those are some of the things that I would just top of mind that come to mind when I think of, you know, sabotaging and self-sabotage. Those are some of the things that underlie that.
Mm-hmm. And so can you give an example of someone that you've worked with who was struggling with that, and how did you help them? What changed, in other words, from what they were doing to what they started doing differently?
Yeah, great question. So one of the executives that I work with, there were a couple of different things going on in her situation when she first started working with me. One was this area of sabotage. So there were a couple of different working relationships that she was struggling with. So there were a lot of like very challenging work situations that she was dealing with, and it was just very challenging for her to have the influence that she wanted to build those, you know, those working relationships. But there was also an element of imposter syndrome, and she was you know, she came to me and she was like, you know, I just feel like I'm not as confident as I want to be. And I feel like all of these things contribute to me feeling that way. So that was, you know, that was the kind of the beginning stages of our coaching. And that's what she was struggling with a great deal when she came into the coaching relationship. And so there were a number of things that we worked on. One of the biggest things was mindset and the way she was viewing certain, you know, situations. And there were a lot of interpretations going on. So for example, in a meeting or something, you know, she would have a conversation with someone, and because of past, you know, past experience, or even some of the experience that she had, you know, as a child, all of those things were really were contributing to the lens through which she viewed certain situations. And it wasn't allowing her to look at things from a different perspective. So she would immediately jump to conclusions or, think the worst in certain situations. And so what we worked on from a mindset perspective is shifting that to maybe helping, giving people the benefit of the doubt a little bit more than usual, or asking empowering questions, asking really good questions to get a better understanding before she jumped to making a decision or going, getting to that conclusion. So there were a number of, shifts that she made as a result of that. And then when it comes to confidence, the confidence part of it, and that imposter syndrome, one of the things that I helped her to uncover or unpack is to realize just how much value she was bringing. Because I think for all of us, it's so easy for us to constantly strive for the next thing, that we forget just how much we've done over time. And even in a given week, we normally don't look back to see, these are all the incredible things we've accomplished in the week. We're always looking forward and looking ahead and focusing more on the gap, between where we are now to where we want to be, versus on really acknowledging and appreciating ourselves for just how much we accomplished. So that's one of the, the puzzle pieces to the confidence as well. And I think that was one of the things that have helped her deal with the imposter syndrome. So from that place, once she started to get more grounded in herself and she started to understand herself from that place of value, what are her strengths? What are her interests? What are the things, what's her zone of genius? What are the things that she's really good at? And so once she was able to step fully into that and really thrive from that space, these other pieces started to fall together a lot easier. So the relationship started to blossom a little bit more. When she was more effective as a leader, she started to communicate differently with, with her direct reports. She started to have more, better conversations, more effective communication and conversations with her her leadership team as well. And so things started to shift pretty dramatically in a short space of time, just with these little, these little tweaks in mind shift and changes in perspective, and helped her to see things from a different perspective and take a little bit of a step back. Because I think, like I was saying before, it's so easy for us to be, go, go, go all the time. And I'm this type of person too. Achiever is one of my top strengths. So it's very easy for me to just go on to the next thing and then, keep moving forward and not realize, just not take that time to reflect. So I think the coaching gave her that space to really reflect and to start looking at things and to start getting a little bit of space so that she could make better decisions and maybe even ask better questions going forward.
Well, you talked a lot about the imposter syndrome. That's the example you just gave of that executive is, I think, so instructive, because it really is examining the lens through which we're looking at things. And I know for me, when I tend to get in a more sensitive place, reacting to what somebody says and taking it personally or as a judgment of me, it's really a reflection of me judging myself first. And so this whole imposter syndrome seems to be kind of rampant out there. I've just read and seen more about that. What do you think is the root cause of that, that can help someone like this person move past that as quickly as possible to really claim their genius and recognize their strengths?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'll speak just from my own experience and the patterns that I've noticed with my clients. A lot of what underlies what I've seen underlie the imposter syndrome, for myself included, is this, this idea that you're not good enough in some way, whether that comes from something that you picked up from childhood and something you interpreted and that you carried carried with you all your life, or maybe it's, situational. So something happens and all of a sudden you start to question your own ability and you start to wonder, am I in the right place, or do they make a mistake, or am I going to get found out because, I don't have the ability to do what they think I should do. And it's also the comparison trap, right? Comparing yourself to other people. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a killer. That's a tough one. And it's so easy for us to slip into that. But that's definitely what I found from my experience, is that goes together as well. That imposter syndrome, you start to question yourself, you start to have all of those, self-doubt and all of those things. And then you start to build evidence. You start to stack that evidence, which makes it just that much worse, right? So you go into the spiral as a result of that. But then you also start comparing yourself to others and starting to go deeper and deeper into that by saying, oh, I should be here, or I should have done this, or, I'm not where I should be, but look at that person. And they, all of those things start to come into play.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody listening can understand and relate to what you're saying, because we really do. I mean, we're going to fall short no matter what if we start comparing ourselves to others. So what I love about your approach in coaching is really helping people look at their strengths and how they can capitalize on those to be as productive and happy as possible. And thinking of happiness, because I know that your whole, you know, I love, because I tend to be too serious. And so the idea of someone focused on fun really appeals to me, because I know that's an area that I would like to celebrate more. So when you think about your work with your clients, for people who are serious like I am, you know, who take their work very, you know, they're very intense with it, they're very serious, how do you help them lighten up a bit and experience more joy and happiness?
Oh, that's a really great question. And I'll start off by saying that there really is no right or wrong. So, you know, some people are going to tend to be more serious, and that works for them, and that's perfectly fine. And they express joy in different ways. They express happiness in different ways. So that's one element of it. But also, if, you know, if I do have a client, for example, that comes to me and they're, they are very serious, and I can see that that's impacting the way they're showing up, or it's a, you know, affecting their ability to get to where they want to go in terms of maybe their professional relationships, or it's stopping their progress in terms of their goals, or whatever it is, then I start to kind of peel back the layers and start to ask questions about that. Like, how do you, self-care is a big part of this as well, in terms of, you know, are you putting so much stress on yourself? Is that, you know, is that why you're showing up in this way? Is that why you, you know, you take so much so seriously? How is that impacting, you know, your stress levels and how you're showing up? And things like that? So there's a number of different elements to that as well. But going back to what you were saying, and I think that's such a great point about how do you bring more of that joy and fulfillment, you know, into your life. And one of the ways I do this, and very simplistically, like in the coaching process, is simply by asking the question, you know, what is it that you do for, like, what brings you that joy? What brings you that level of fulfillment, enjoyment? You know, how, what do you do in your downtime? What do you love doing? And what I find really interesting is, because I work with a lot of like type A personalities, or people who, you know, have work as like the central part of their life. It's really hard. Sometimes it's hard for them to sit and think, oh, like I spend time with my family, but I don't really know, like I don't really have any hobbies. I don't have time for those kinds of things. So I think even just asking those questions and giving ourselves a pause, and, you know, giving ourselves a moment to reflect and saying, is this something that I want to work on? First of all, is this an area where I feel like would really benefit me and those around me? And if so, then what do I need to do to, you know, to fulfill that? What do I need to do to increase the level of joy in my life? Or, you know, and as you know, like I've shared this before, but the TED Talk that I did on the pursuit of happiness in the workplace, in that TED Talk, there's a lot that I talk about in terms of how to achieve that. So, you know, based on a, you know, from a scientific standpoint, based on research and what research shows that truly brings us joy and fulfillment. And a lot of it is not maybe what we would, you know, what we have learned to believe over the years. So that is definitely something that I would say is start to look at those things, you know, like giving back, like serving in some way, or, you know, doing, you know, having a hobbies, or having other interests outside of work that really fill you up. Spending time with loved ones, connection is so important when it comes to joy and happiness. Getting out in nature, taking care of yourself, you know, doing things like that really energize you. So there's so many different elements to that. But yeah, that's definitely something to do, is just to stop, very simply take a moment and stop and pause and reflect, and even think back to your past. Like, what are things in the past that maybe you don't have as much time for now, but you did before, that really did bring you joy? What are some of those things that maybe you haven't done in a while that you really did enjoy, and you knew that if you brought it back, that it would just really help you feel less stressed and get that joy out of life again?
That those are all excellent suggestions. When I think the challenge for folks is when they are feeling stressed, it's hard to have that clear thinking and to feel like I can take time to do this kind of reflection, because I've got to get this done, or I've got to do that, or, and that itself, you know, is a mindset. Going full circle to, you know, the first things we started talking about is your mindset, how you're viewing your circumstances and yourself and your choices that you sense that you either have or don't have. One other thing I would add to what you were saying that I think has helped me a lot is just a gratitude journal. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a long list of things, but just thinking of two or three that you especially appreciate, and just allowing myself to feel that gratitude for those things. that has another calming effect that I would just add to the different really good ideas that you shared, because I think that's a key piece for state of well-being. You know, that's all part of your mindset, how you're seeing yourself and the world and your circumstances.
Oh, absolutely. And I love that you brought that out, because that is something that is so important, like you said, to your well-being, to your sense of happiness and joy. And one of the things that I share with my clients is you can't be truly in a state of gratitude and stressed, or, you know, in a state of gratitude or frustration. Right. At the same time. So it definitely is a choice. So you've got to take that pause, even if it's for a couple of seconds. It doesn't have to be long, but take that pause to reflect. And especially when times get tough, this is a kind of a stretch exercise that I give my clients, is especially when, you know, in the most challenging of situations, take that pause and ask yourself, what can I be grateful for in this moment, especially when, you know, when times are tough, because that will shift the focus in your mind and will help you to have you know, a better outcome. And one of the other things I wanted to touch on that I love that you brought up as well is that, you know, being in this mindset of, yeah, but if I do that, if I take a pause, it's taking away from, you know, from me doing this next thing on my to-do list or whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. And what research has shown is that's actually counterproductive to push yourself in those times, right? But to keep moving, because if you do take a pause, you're a lot more effective when it comes to work or, you know, whatever else you have to get done. So taking care of yourself and your well-being and taking those pauses and taking those, as simple as taking a few deep breaths during the day, it can, you know, can really make a big difference when it comes to your ability to focus, your ability to do your work a lot more efficiently and effectively, and also be more creative, right? You can come up with more creative solutions to get more done in less time, maybe, or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But if you just keep pushing ourselves so hard, it actually has so many more negative impacts than it does, you know, positive.
Those are all so good, Charissa. You're sharing such a wonderful wealth of information from your own personal experience, and also thinking about what you've said and done with clients and your work with them to help them thrive, really, because that's what you're talking about, is thinking about yourself, thinking about your world in a way that allows you to respond with good energy, with the kind of mindset that really allows you to bring your best self. And so your tips on how to avoid sabotaging yourself or getting yourself out of that and avoiding falling into the whole imposter syndrome, I just love the points that you've made. And as we wrap up, I'd love for you to be able to share with my audience, how can they connect with you, learn more about your work, because you're obviously doing some wonderful work in the world.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to share that with your audience, Meredith. Yeah, and I would love to, you know, help further if there's anything that I can do to help. I mean, you can find more information on the work that I do on my website at charissasebastian.com, or you can just email me directly at info@charissasebastian.com if you have any questions based on what we discussed, or if there's anything else that I can help you with. And then the other thing that you'll find on my website, if this is, you know, of interest to you, I've got a free masterclass out there on the 5 shifts that you need to make, like talking about these mindset shifts and things like that. But the 5 shifts that you really need to make in order to skyrocket your career without the burnout, without feeling like you have to work, you know, 60 plus hours a week. So that's really talking about what you just mentioned, Meredith, and that is how to thrive, especially in the current, you know, in our current climate with so much unknown, so much uncertainty, and yes, high stress levels. So yeah, if your audience is interested in that, I would be happy.
Well, great. We will put that on the show notes page, but I want to spell your name, since your website is your name. I want to make sure the listeners who don't have access to the video or the our website can look you up. It's Charissa, and then Sebastian is Sebastian, and that's .com, right?
That's right. Thank you.
Sebastian.com. That's great. Well, I know there are folks who are listening that would probably love to take advantage of that masterclass based on, you know, the challenges they may have been dealing with here in the last few months. So thank you again, Charissa. I love the work you're doing. I love your own evolution in this whole process and the fact that you recognized that you needed to change something for yourself, and you took action. And now look at what great work you're doing with clients because you were willing to take a look. And so I admire you for doing that. And I really respect the work that you're doing with clients. Thank you for joining me today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thanks for tuning in to the Strong for Performance podcast. Now head over to growstrongleaders.com to learn how our tools can increase your impact with clients and expand your business. And while you're there, grab our free ebook, The 5 Secrets to Getting Better at Anything. Until next time, I'm Meredith Bell. Make it a great day.